This is the Hasidic Story Project with Barak Holman, podcasting from Jerusalem, Israel. This podcast is sponsored by listeners just like you. To become a supporter of this podcast, please go to HasidicStory.com. HASIDIC Story.com.
You'll never know. You'll never know.
Shalom Aleichem, my sweetest friends. This week I have two stories for you. But before I begin, I want to dedicate this episode to the continued success of our soldiers in battle wherever they are, the returning of all of the hostages, whole and complete and healthy, Be'ezrat Hashem, the refuah shlema of everybody who's been injured or is sick, and the comforting of the families that lost loved ones. Be'ezrat Hashem, the continued unity of the Jewish people in the land of Israel and everywhere in the world. The first story is a well-known story in Chabad circles. When the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Shalom Dovber, was a young child, his father, the fourth Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Shmuel, woke him up in the morning. And he said, "Tell me, did you have any special dreams last night?" And Shalom Dovber thought about it for a minute. And then he remembered his dream and he started sweating from the fear from what he remembered from his dream. And he told his father, the Rebbe, that he dreamt that he saw very holy tzaddikim that came and visited him in his dream. And one of them told him a story and a Torah idea. So the Rebbe, Rabbi Shmuel, he said to his son, Shalom Dovber, "Please describe to me what each of the holy men in your dream looked like." Because he was a great tzaddik and a Rebbe, Rabbi Shmuel also had tzaddikim come to visit him in dreams, and he was able to have conversations with them and to learn Torah from them, and he knew what they looked like. So as Shalom Dovber went about explaining what each of the holy men looked like, the one who shared the Torah idea, his father the Rebbe, Rabbi Shmuel, said that was none other than the Heilige Baal Shem Tov. And so Shalom Dovber was very pleased and a little shocked that the Baal Shem Tov came to him in a dream. And his father said to Shalom Dovber, "Tell me, what did the Heilige Baal Shem Tov say to you?" The young boy, he said, that the Baal Shem Tov said that it's written in Pirkei Avot, in Ethics of Our Fathers, who is a strong person? A person who conquers his evil inclination. And the Baal Shem Tov went on to say that in Pirkei Avot, it doesn't say who breaks his evil inclination, but rather who conquers his evil inclination. And the reason is because the truth is it's harder to transform one's evil inclination in order for it to serve Hashem than to break it and to destroy it. To always live with it, but to have that energy be used for good. So that was the Dvar Torah that the Baal Shem Tov shared with the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe when he was a child. And now here's the story that the Baal Shem Tov shared. He said in the dream, "When I was a young man, around 20 years old, he was accepted as a member of the Chevraya Kadisha, of the Holy Society of Hidden Tzaddikim. These hidden tzaddikim many times were disguised as very simple, impoverished Jews. They went around praying for their fellow Jews and trying to lift their spirits. And so the Baal Shem Tov said this group of hidden tzaddikim came to the city of Brody. There in Brody, the Baal Shem Tov said he saw the most amazing thing. He was standing in the market, speaking with a bunch of the local Jews, when in the corner of his eye, he sees in the distance an old man who's hunched over because he's carrying such a huge sack on his back. Now, it would make sense if a young man was carrying such a heavy load, but to see an old man carrying so much was very unusual. And it was clear that he was really suffering under the burden of the weight of this sack, because he was covered in sweat, and he was grunting, "Ugh, ah," as he was walking. Now, that was a bit strange, but something that the Baal Shem Tov noticed, that really somebody on only a spiritual level, like the Heilige Baal Shem Tov, could see, was above the head of this old man was a pillar of spiritual fire. It was like fireworks were going off over him. And obviously, the other people that the Baal Shem Tov was speaking with in the marketplace would not be able to see this holy fire. And not only that, they kind of made fun of this old man carrying the sack. They said, "Hey, Herschel Goat, keep going! You can do it!" And another one said, "Carry, Herschel, carry, you can make it." They half said it in jest, the other half because they really cared about Herschel. And he would say back to them, "Thank you, my sweetest friends. May Hashem bless you back." The Baal Shem Tov is watching this. And the whole time he's seeing this old man carrying this heavy load. The townspeople encouraging him on the one hand, laughing at him on the other. But he, with his holy vision, seeing an incredible holy fire, a pillar of fire over this old Jew. So the Baal Shem Tov was standing there with two of the elder hidden tzaddikim, and he turns to them and he said, "Do you see the pillar of fire?" And they said that they saw it also, but they couldn't understand it because here they were part of the group of hidden tzaddikim. And this guy, Herschel, was not one of the hidden tzaddikim. Clearly, it was just a simple Jew trying to make a living by carrying a load in the marketplace. And the Baal Shem Tov had to figure out why such a simple Jew like Herschel, who they called Herschel Goat, had such a holy fire burning above him. And so the Baal Shem Tov stayed in the marketplace in Brody. Every day would come back, and every day he would watch Herschel carrying a heavy load, and he would see the holy fire burning above him. But still the Baal Shem Tov didn't understand it. So he started asking the townspeople, "Who is this guy? Why do you call him Herschel Goat?" So people said that his wife had died around 10 years before, and he earned his living by carrying things on his back, doing odd jobs. And he didn't need much money, but he had a bunch of goats. And he loved his goats, and he loved goat milk. And they said he loved his goats so much that he basically used the money to feed his goats. And so his name was Herschel, and he loves his goats. So people called him Herschel Goat. The Baal Shem Tov had to understand what was this holy fire he was seeing, and why it was appearing over such a simple person like this Herschel. So he decided to fast the first 3 days of each week, only drinking water at night, until he understood what this Herschel Goat did to merit this holy fire. And when he had just finished the first 3 days of fasting, he was leaving shul at night. Then, by Hashgacha Pratit, divine providence, who does he see walking down the street? Herschel. And the Baal Shem Tov approaches him, and Herschel has a big smile on his face. And the Baal Shem Tov says, "My sweetest friend, Herschel, my name is Yisrael, and I'm very sorry, but I've been fasting for several days, and I'm very weak. Would you happen to have something to eat?" And Herschel said, "Yes, of course. Please, it would be my greatest honor. Come back to my home. I'll be so happy to give you something to eat." And they walked, and they walked, and they walked for about an hour. And finally, they came to an old, run-down house at the edge of the woods, at the edge of civilization. And as Herschel opened the door, and they went in the house, something like 4 or 5 goats jumped from all corners of this little run-down house and came and licked Herschel's hands and jumped on him and were running around him, filled with joy. Baal Shem Tov had never seen anything like it before. And Herschel quieted the goats. The goats calmed down. And then he told the Baal Shem Tov, "Please sit down." And he took out a large metal pail and started milking one of the goats. And then he poured a cup of goat's milk. He gave it to the Baal Shem Tov. And he said, "Here, Yisrael, trust me, there's nothing more healthy than goat's milk. Probably no healthier than my goat's milk, because these goats are so happy." And the Baal Shem Tov said a bracha, and he drank the goat's milk. And then right away, Herschel said to him, "Please, have another cup of milk." And he poured him another cup. And the Baal Shem Tov, after 2 cups of goat's milk, he said, "Thank you very much, Herschel, but I can't have any more. But please let me pay you for this fine milk that you gave me." And Herschel says, "Pay me? God forbid, you want to pay me? No. I won't take any money from you. This is why I work. This is why I make money. So I can feed the goats, and they can make milk, and I can give it to people like you. Why would I want to take money for that? This is my greatest pleasure in life." And then Herschel looked at the Baal Shem Tov very seriously, and he said, "Yisrael, is it okay if I tell you a story?" And the Baal Shem Tov says, "Yes, of course." Herschel says, "It's a true story. You have no idea how happy I am that you're here. Please, just stay for a few more minutes and listen to my story." And Herschel closed his eyes for a few seconds to try to collect his thoughts before he started speaking. And then he said, "My wife, of blessed memory, she was a tzaddiket. She was a truly righteous woman, and she was always helping people. She would say to me, don't we learn in the Talmud, Tzarich kol adam lomar kol ha'olam lo nivra ele bishvili, that the whole world was created just for me? Now, of course, it doesn't mean in a selfish way that the whole world is created just for me. It means that the whole world is created for me to fulfill my mission in this world. And Herschel is talking about his wife, a blessed memory. He said, anytime my wife saw that somebody was lacking something, she did everything she could to help them. Sometimes she would have to collect tzedakah for them. Sometimes she would go to a person's home when they were sick and take care of them. I'm telling you, Yisrael, her whole life was a life of mesirut nefesh, of self-sacrifice for other people. And I miss her so much. She was so good to me as well. And shortly after she passed away, after the 7 days of mourning, she came to me in a dream. And she told me that after she left this world, instead of going through the painful purification process of what's called the slingshot and the thrashing of the grave, she was taken straight to the highest places in Gan Eden, in the highest heavens, because she was received in heaven by all of the souls of those people that she had helped in this world. And she said to me, nothing is valued in heaven more than loving your fellow Jew. And she begged me that I should also go out and help people and give tzedakah and care for the sick and do whatever I could to help others. So Herschel said, I decided to buy these goats because I knew the goat's milk is super healthy and I was going to give the milk away for free to whoever needed it. And let me tell you, it's done wonders for people. This milk has healed people. There have been women that were having a difficult pregnancy and would drink my milk and have a healthy birth. There would be babies that were sick, chas v'shalom, God forbid, and they would take a little drop of my milk and be healed. And so I took my wife's advice, and I've been doing everything I could to help people with my goat's milk, including schlepping heavy things in the marketplace in order to have the money to feed them. But Yisrael, since my wife passed away, and it's been 10 years, she never appeared to me again in a dream until this morning. This morning, before I woke up, she told me that I would meet a very holy man, and that that man would change my life. And since I haven't met anybody else today, except for the people that hired me, I am sure she was talking about you, Yisrael. So I'm begging you, please, stay here for a few days and teach me some Torah. And the Baal Shem Tov was very impressed with Herschel, and he stayed for a few more days. And he watched how he took care of the goats, and how he took the milk to all kinds of people, helping in any way that he possibly could. And he did it with absolute joy, total faith in Hashem, and no ego whatsoever. But the Baal Shem Tov saw that Herschel was such an ignoramus, an Am Haaretz, that he couldn't even read the Aleph Bet, the Hebrew letters. And the Baal Shem Tov went back to the hidden tzaddikim, and he asked them what they thought they should do. And they agreed that they would take Herschel with them, and his goats, of course, and teach him Torah. And so for 3 years, Herschel learned with the Baal Shem Tov and the other hidden tzaddikim. And he learned from the Chumash, he learned from the 5 books of Moses, and he learned from the Shulchan Aruch, and he learned a little bit of Halacha. And then one day, Herschel's mind was blown open. And suddenly, he understood and remembered everything that the hidden tzaddikim taught him, even the most difficult ideas in Kabbalah and in the Gemara. But despite suddenly being able to remember everything, he never lost his simplicity. He was always Herschel Goat. In another 5 years of learning with the hidden tzaddikim, Herschel Goat became a great tzaddik and a mekubal, a mystic, and he moved to the city of Astropol. And for the next 10 years, he stayed there, and he helped his fellow Jews with his goat's milk, in his davening, in his acts of kindness. And then one day, as it happens, Herschel simply passed away on a cold, rainy day. And the Burial Society of Astropol, they made sure that Herschel was given a proper kosher burial, and they made sure there was a minyan there, and they said Kaddish for him. But otherwise, he was treated just like any unknown, simple, poor person. And in heaven, they were not happy about this. Herschel was a great holy man, and he had helped hundreds, if not thousands, of people. And when he died, he deserved much more honor than he was given. And so a decree was passed in heaven that the city of Astropol would suffer a terrible misfortune because of how Herschel was buried.
Uh-oh!
And the Baal Shem Tov and the other hidden tzaddikim tried to change the decree in heaven, They argued that a tzaddik, like Herschel Goat, really didn't care about his own honor. He didn't care how many people came to his funeral, but it didn't help. And then suddenly the soul of Herschel's wife appears before the heavenly court. And she was such a great tzaddiket, such a holy, righteous woman, that all of the accusing angels quieted down to hear what she had to say. And she said, how can it be that an entire city is punished because of her husband? After all, her husband devoted his life to helping other people. And the worst thing that you could do for his soul is cause another person, let alone a whole city, to suffer because he wasn't buried with enough honor. And she demanded that the heavenly court annul the decree against the city of Astrapol. And after a short discussion, the heavenly court agreed and the decree was cancelled. And Herschel's soul returned to the highest realms. And so I can only assume that afterwards, Shalom Dober and his father, the Rebbe, had a conversation about the dream. But it reminds me of another story I heard. Once a misnagid ran into a chassid of the great Rebbe, Rebbe Elimelech of Lezhansk, and he said to him, please come to my home, I want to show you something. And so the chassid goes to the house of the misnagid, and he shows him his table. And he said, you know, one of the legs here was a little short. So I found a sefer, I found a holy book called Noam Elimelech, which of course was the sefer, the book that Rebbe Elimelech of Lezhansk wrote. And the misnagid says to the chassid, what do you think about me putting it under the table to straighten out my table here? And of course he meant it as a sign of disrespect to the Rebbe, because he didn't respect chassidim. And the chassid simply answered, even if you were to put my Rebbe under the table, not just his book, but the Rebbe himself, he wouldn't even complain. And so, as I mentioned last week, regarding the Lamed Vav Taylor, to get to a truly high spiritual level, my sweetest friends, you really have to remove your ego and be doing a mitzvah only because you want another mitzvah. Be'ezrat Hashem, everyone on their own level, we should reach the highest places we possibly can.
Hi, good Shabbos, good Shabbos, good Shabbos. Halalai, lai, 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 ama, 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 nini, lai, 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 halalai, lai, lai, nini, lai, 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 nini, lai,
I have one more story for you. This is a story told by Arle Karnevsky. When he was a baby, his family noticed that his legs were curved, that they were bow-legged. And so his mother took him to the doctor. And the doctor said, oh, not to worry. Eventually he would grow out of it. But unfortunately, he didn't. And as he continued to grow, Arle's mother became concerned. She went to a specialist hospital for joint diseases to see what they could do. And they told his mother that he would have to wear braces on his legs in order for his legs to straighten up. And they kept visiting the hospital for regular checkups. And once, his mother asked the specialist how long he thought that Arle would need to wear these braces. And the doctor said for at least a year. And he said, come back in 3 weeks and we'll do an x-ray of each leg. And then we'll be able to know exactly how long it's going to take. And as it turned out, the day of the x-ray was the same day as his brother's birthday. And it was a minhag, it was a custom that the Sunday before one's birthday, Lubavitcher Chassidim would go before the Lubavitcher Rebbe and get a bracha, a blessing and a dollar from him. And so Arle's mother and his older brother and him all went before the Rebbe on Sunday for dollars. And then they were going to go to the x-ray appointment. And standing in front of the Rebbe, Arla's mother says in Yiddish that it's Arla's brother's birthday. It's coming on Thursday. And the Rebbe hands $2 to Arla's older brother, saying that he should give it to tzedakah on his birthday. And then Arla came before the Rebbe. And then after that, it was his mother's turn. And she thought about saying something to the Rebbe about the x-rays that were going to be taken that Thursday. But she was too overwhelmed in the presence of the Rebbe to say anything. And I can tell you, the same thing happened to me when I was in the presence of the Rebbe. And so she didn't say anything. Instead, she asked her husband to write a letter to the Rebbe. And when her turn came, the Rebbe handed her a dollar. And then she started to leave. And then the Rebbe handed her another dollar. And he said, this is for Thursday. And Arla's father handed the letter, asking for the Rebbe's blessing before the Thursday appointment. And later, his parents received a phone call from the Rebbe's secretary. He said that the Rebbe instructed them to check their tefillin and mezuzot and report back with the sofer what the scribe had found. So immediately Arya's father removed all the mezuzot and took his tefillin to get them checked by the sofer. but he decided this time to go to a different sofer than the one that he usually went to. And the sofer checked the tefillin and the mezuzot, and he found 3 mistakes, 2 in the mezuzot and 1 in the tefillin. And all of the mistakes were in the legs of the problematic letters. One had a hole in the foot of the letter, and the ink was coming through to the other side of the parchment. This meant the mezuzah was not kosher from the moment that it was written. It was now obvious that the Rebbe was telling them that the Rebbe's advice to check their tefillin and mezuzot was coming from divine intervention. The other 2 letters also had cracks in them, so they bought new mezuzot to fix the unkosher ones. And Ariel's grandmother decided to buy 10 of the best quality mezuzot brought in from Israel as a gift to the family. And that Thursday when Ariel went to the hospital, the whole family was waiting in anticipation to see what was going to happen. And even his father, who was not usually available to go on the checkups, he wanted to come and see what miracle was going to happen. The doctors took Ariel into the x-ray room and did the x-rays. And as soon as the doctor came out of the room, his eyes were open, wide, in disbelief. He had a shocked look on his face. The doctor says to Ariel's parents, "How long has he been wearing these braces?" And they said, "Like a few months." And the doctor said, "I looked at your son's previous x-rays, and your son's legs are curved. But for some inexplicable reason, the x-rays that I just took show that his legs are perfectly straight. Usually, a person with legs like your son's would need surgery or maybe even having to wear leg braces their whole life. But your son's legs are healed." And they told the doctor about the advice that the Rebbe had given, and the doctor just shook his head. He couldn't understand it. Fixing mezuzot could fix legs? He didn't understand it. But Arale says the leg braces are still in his house, and they remind him and his family the great miracle the Rebbe did by telling them to check their tefillin in mezuzot. And honestly, my sweetest friends, it wasn't just the great miracle that the Rebbe did. It was the great miracle that Arle and his family did. Because it's one thing for a tzaddik to give advice, but it's another thing to have enough faith to believe in the tzaddik and do what he says. And because they did, they merited for their son to have a full recovery. I lie, and 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 I lie. Thank you so much for listening, my sweetest friends. There's so many people to thank this week. First of all, I want to sincerely thank Holy Brother Hector, who sent in a contribution for the podcast and doesn't respond to my emails. But dear Hector, thank you very much. It's very deeply appreciated. And to Holy Brother Tom in Colorado for your beautiful message and your contribution. And everybody else that sent in cups of coffee. And all of the Patreon supporters. And also, a loyal listener of the podcast, Holy Brother Yoshua, who sent a message through my wife that while he was serving in Gaza for many months, he said the soldiers were too tired to hear Divrei Torah, words of Torah, but there was always room for a story, and he would retell the stories from the podcast to the soldiers in Gaza. And of course, to the sweet children who sent in beautiful messages.
Hi, Rabbi Homan. My name is Chaya Mushka, and I'm 8 years old, and I live in California, San Diego, and we love your stories, and we listen to it in our car, and bye. Thank you, Mashiach Ne'el.
Thank you so much, everyone, for being a part of the podcast and for listening and for sharing. And may Hashem keep you all safe, healthy, wealthy, and wise, connected to Torah and mitzvot, besimcha, with joy, and have a good Shabbos, and have a good month, the month of Adar, and have a good week. Sei gesund, my sweetest friends. Take care of yourselves.
לחיים!